June 2nd, 2021. It's a Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Lock for Pedro Show, happy Wednesday, first Wednesday of June 2021. And summer's coming, right? Started to show off John Coltrane, Do I Love You Because You're Beautiful? And then Tom Hamilton, Bite Him to Death. I prithee. Prithee. That's kind of old-timey there. People, Brother Matt, still the love of God. Pleasure Point, a couple miles south. It's a great quarantino mode, but I am not totally man alone because those software engineers are starting with their Skype invention. I got Brother Tom Hamilton with me. Welcome aboard, Tom.
Thank you.
And where are you talking to me from?
Coming from Midtown Manhattan.
Okay. Wow.
All right.
Yeah, we get some Brooklyn, but we don't get a lot of Manhattan.
Well, I'm here.
You know who's that?
I've been here for 34 years, so,
That's probably why. Alan Ravenstein from Perubu is a Manhattan guy, and he just made two albums, the synthesizer player.
Wow.
I don't know if you're familiar, but that band had a huge effect on the Minutemen. But I want to talk about your journey through music, because this stuff you gave me, I love, man.
Oh, thanks so much.
Try to bring your earliest musical recollection.
Well, I guess it would be a couple of things. One is that my mother was always playing records, and she had a lot of 78s. And I just remember the image that I have is of a album of Daughter of the Regiment with Lily Pons, the opera. And so that I know there was other things too. But there are all these stacks of 78s that went on the phonograph. And then I think the other thing was that we had at some point, just a little bit later, we had one of those little square 45 RPM players, maybe RCA or somebody made them. They had a little speaker in them, little square brown things. And so, you know, my folks had a few records. There was, Stan Freberg, Christmas Dragnet.
Yeah, Freeberg. Anybody who listens to Dr. Demento show, people knows about Stan Freeberg.
Yeah. And Eartha Kitt, I remember, you know. That was stuff just very vague for me. Just recorded music, listening to around the house when I was just very small.
So I gather that's the situation. Your folks were more listeners than players.
That's right. My mom had school music lessons in clarinet and piano, but she really wasn't playing at all. And we didn't have a piano in the house until much later. And my father was a music listener, but not a performer in any sense.
And the pad you grew up in had no musical instruments. You said later there's a piano.
Well, I started on trumpet in fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about school. If you were in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that.
Yes, yeah, all that stuff, and just regular school music program. And I started singing, and I started playing the trumpet, and I sang in our synagogue had a children's choir, and the choir director was a tremendously inspirational person, and sort of a couple of us stood off to the side and we improvised harmony parts in these melodies, and that started me kind of on a path with improvisation. I sort of learned that I like to use my ear. I like to improvise and make up stuff, you know.
But being a trumpet player and shit, you learned how to read music, right?
Oh, sure. Oh, well, yeah. A school music program was all about reading music, really. I didn't start improvising on the trumpet till I could play more than six notes. I mean, you know.
No. You're talking what I'm understanding is vocabulary. Like,
yeah.
To know the rules, you have to break the rules, you got to kind of know them first.
That's ideally, yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, but everybody's got their own path, and life is a trippy teacher anyway.
Indeed.
Sometimes it's academic, sometimes it's experiences, sometimes it's cats you run into, collabs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a teacher that you find in an unexpected way.
That's what I was just going to ask you, Tom. Did any of these people in this early, like the school stuff and non-you, have a profound effect? You want to give credit?
Yeah, absolutely. When I started high school and I started having, what the other kids called a jazz experience, let's say, for lack of a better word. Somebody said there was this guy teaching in a music store. He was teaching jazz theory. And so I went to check that out. And this was being taught by somebody by the name of Tom Mason, who later went on to start the jazz program at USC. So people in California probably know his name.
Tom, you know there's another USC. It's in South Carolina. It's the Gamecocks at Columbia.
Oh, sorry, you know.
But you're talking about the Trojans.
I'm from Milwaukee. I don't know any of this stuff. So.
That's all right. From Torn, Tom.
Yeah. So at any rate, I started taking these lessons. And what was so important is that he gave me labels for the things that I was hearing in terms of chords, in terms of just basic materials of music, what some people would call music theory, but really just those basic materials of music, and also kind of pointed me in a vocabulary that could be applied to a lot of different music, especially, let's say, American songbook stuff. And some jazz standards. And it was so I so it through that I started teaching myself piano. There was a piano in the home, and I just started sitting down and learning tunes and trying to apply some of these things.
Now,
and,
you know what's a trip? The piano's got a button for every note. But
yeah.
Something like a trumpet, even though you see three vowels there, it ain't a bugle, but it kind of is a bugle. A lot of them notes you got to get out of your lip.
Well, that's right. That's right. And, you know, of course, when, you know, when you're just starting out, you're depending upon the trumpet to pull you along. You finger the notes and you expect those notes to come out. And so there's that coordination between your lip and your lip and your brain, I guess. And
yeah,
somehow
the
notes
the
come
notes.
Out in a sort of rudimentary way, let's say, you know.
I just, look, at the end of the day, music is music, but there's different
sure.
ways to get to that point. And I think a horn man kind of has to know the note. He can't just push that button.
You have to hear it. And I had a horn teacher for a while in college, who said, you know, if you're having trouble with a passage, you have to stop and sing that passage. And if you can sing it, you can play it. And she proved that to me time and again. She would stop me. She'd say, take the mouthpiece out of the horn. First, sing that passage. Then buzz it on the mouthpiece. And then stick the mouthpiece back in the horn and play it. And it always cleared things up.
Oh, man, that's a trip. Because a drummer friend of mine, Steve Hodges, he said the same thing. If you can dance to it, you can play drums to it.
Yeah.
If you can sing it, you can play. So, yeah, it's a way of actually trying to find your own voice by all these other researches people have been doing for buttloads of years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, you know, at least for me, what carried it for me is that I had an early ability to sing and an early ability to hear notes, to hear pitches. And the singing, I didn't, after my voice changed, you know, as a teenager, I didn't really stick with that very much. I didn't feel that I had very much control over my voice, and I didn't have the discipline to sort of cure myself in a way. But, I mean, I enjoy singing, but I'm not a singer in any sense. But just being able to sing as a way of learning music.
Right. I think it's like reading a book, and some people don't read out loud while you're reading. Right. That means you're stupid. No, it's just another way of absorbing information
way, yeah.
and expressing
yeah.
yourself. I want to play City of Vorticity.
Vorticity.
Vorticity, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. grandma, a real wrecking machine, total destruction, strewn debris, everything's exploded, and everything's free. Cannonball, a real wrecking machine.
Watch for Pedro show. That start, that chunk of music started out with Tom Hamilton doing an excerpt from his City of Vorticity.
Yeah.
Then we had the man who's responsible for this connect between myself and Tom Hamilton, Al Margolis.
Yes.
And a trippy-ass piece, Daredevil, Snarebone. Well, everything, Al Margolis, incredible cat. I had him on the show a few months ago, and I said, please bring, you know, of course not Xerox copy, but cats like you in the sense of adventure. And you were the recommend. Thank you so much, Tom.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay, a couple thoughts about things that won't matter in the long run from Mike Grugnetta. Then SLWCC Watt with Cannonball. It's a collab I'm doing. Album I did with a guy in Iowa City, Trading Files. Never met the man. But music is that bitchin', people. The Mirrored Ones after that with Better to Forget. Bombas Prendon. Fast Food Fast. The 8 Deluxe. One of their guys in that group, Proj, Steve Walt, he calculated 100 pounds worth of cassettes they've made in 40 years and only done 5 gigs. Okay, but they keep on king, even on. Brand new album from Scotty Irvin, Clang Quartet with Love Thy Neighbor. Aruba, Avua after that with Nanonda Afor. And finally, Morelos Sin Termino, an excerpt from Tom Hamilton. Now, the one trippy thing about horns and us, you know, 1957, Sputnik, you know, rock and roll. What'd you do after, I'm not talking about after graduating school, but in the afternoon, did you do the garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
No, not really. I think I was always kind of detached from mainstream culture and maybe the way people sort of congregated. Although, I mean, I was in some jazz groups as a kid, but I never connected with rock and roll. So in a broad sense, you're talking to the wrong guy.
Okay.
I know almost nothing about rock and roll.
Okay.
Nothing of any importance.
Well, what about ensemble playing? You said something about a jazz band. Because to
me, I've
really come to an understanding that music is music and that genre shit is just for marketing.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, we would get together in small groups. And even in junior high school, there was a band director that encouraged us to have small groups. And, you know, he'd get us some music and it would be Dixieland stuff. You know, it would be a Tiger Rag and stuff like that. And then as I got into high school, I kind of learned a little more about what the mainstream of jazz was, more through recordings, but also just some opportunities to hear some live music. So
now, you know, the big joke about the Thelonious Monk contest is Thelonious Monk probably would never won it. And this is the problem I see with the thing about being avant-garde, but in a way you're setting up the new rules.
Yeah.
And it's just a human dilemma. I'm not saying there's any kind of evil involved.
Yeah.
But, so the thing that starts off as a formula for experimentation, improvisation, turns into, whoa, shtick. I'm not, shtick is kind of heavy, but. You know what I mean? No blue notes. Somebody, who told me that? Han Bennick told me that once.
No blue notes.
Yeah, no blue notes. So they're waving the finger at you, but at that same time, they're trying to wave freedom at you, or whatever, anarchistic proclivity. It seems like, I wanted to ask you about composing, because you, Dixieland, you said band directors, they're giving you sheet music?
Well, I'm saying this is you know, like my junior high music experience starts to move away from standard fare junior high band music into things like Dixieland and swing. And so by the time I got into high school, I was now listening to things that were current at the time. So, you know, I started high school in 1960. So this is
kind of blue.
Well, I was just going to say, so the you know, I was just going to say that.
Giant steps. Because,
I mean. You know, the first record that I bought really was a Columbia compilation called Jazz Poll Winners, and I think they put that out in 1959, and so I probably bought it in 59 or 60, and the very first tune on that compilation was All Blues. That's the first thing I heard as you'd say modern jazz, was that tune. What a revelation.
I forgot to ask you about your first record, so thanks for bringing that up. What was the first gig? What was the first gig you saw, Tom?
The first gig was at my high school, and it was a fundraiser for American Field Service. And it was the Dizzy Gillespie Quintet.
Wow.
1965. Yeah. Wow. So, you know, imagine I had been playing trumpet for 4 years or something like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now I'm, you know, sitting and 50 feet away from the greatest living trumpet player. I mean,
I've seen one of his horns at the Smithsonian, and I saw him do one man gig with a dashiki doing like a Afro-Cuban kind of... Beautiful cat. Incredible. And had the chops. And Miles knew that. That's why Miles always put good guys in his band. But let me ask you about composing, Tom. When did you start composing?
Well, I think I made some efforts, you know, maybe when I was in 7th or 8th grade. And then I, you know, it just... There was composing got mixed up with arranging, and then by the time I got to college, then it was composing in a different context. It was sort of, I don't know, I guess you'd call it modernist in some way, and everything changed when I became exposed to electronic music, and then for a while I was composing in the sense of putting notes on paper. But I was always composing in the sense of making sounds and putting them on tape, and which I like better. And
you mean capturing performances?
No, I mean making the sounds.
Oh, actually doing the composition by creating the recordings. Okay.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Okay. Now tell me about this electronic. How did it happen?
Well, it happened when I was a freshman in college, I think. So this would have been maybe fall of 64 or around then. The great electronic composer Vladimir Ussachevsky was on a lecture circuit, and he came to our school, and he did this lecture with musical examples all about electronic music. And I thought, this is really fascinating, but I don't think I could do that. Typical Midwest kid reaction, you know. That's great, but I can't do it. And at any rate, I went back, and so I told my teacher and friend, Tom Mason, about this experience of going to this lecture. And he knew that I had a little basement workshop in my parents' basement where I would build little circuits for ham radio. And he said, why don't you try building some things for electronic music? And somehow, I think maybe he got me some schematics that had been passed around and, you know, just little things and little transistor circuits and things that I could build. And they were more successful than the things I had been building for ham radio. And so I started putting these little boxes together. I had no other guidance about this for quite a while. And so I just, with a little bit of practical electronics that I knew about, I started doing that. And then from there, I got a Sony tape recorder and started putting stuff down on tape.
Wow.
And
so you were learning by doing.
Look, I was learning by doing.
Yeah, that's bitching. That's bitching. We're at the end of the first hour, June 2nd, 2021, Dish Watt Peters for special guest Tom Hamilton. Hold tight for hour two. June 2, 2021, it's the second hour of Watt Peters Show.
Thank you. I'm not a false meal. I employ the reserve. Thank you.
For Pedro show, we start out the second hour. Tom Hamilton doing Bonham Pack. I didn't make that up, people. Any insights to that title?
I think it's a site in Mexico.
Oh, okay. So a native word, maybe. Yeah. What about titles? You know, with instrumental music, right? When John Coltrane called that song Alabama, even though he's phrasing like Dr. King, just that title, the four girls, right? It can be very heavy, a title. Do you put them on first or last?
Most of the time last.
Yeah, like most people.
You know, there's sort of that struggle as I'm working on it, what to call it. And then something just comes to me, and I'll think, well, that phrase, maybe I could apply it here. Maybe that's what it's all about. You know, I suppose there's also times, of course, you know, when the title comes first and then that sort of kicks off the idea for the piece. But I'd have to say, for the most part, it's sort of brewing as I'm working on the piece, and then it kind of comes to me at the end.
Well, that's why I asked you, because I always start with the title. Otherwise, I got no anchor to try to rally all my whatever assets to try to bring.
I'll try that next.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, New Mexico. God, I've driven through there a lot. I got to look for that place. Ben Salter from Tasmania after that was sacrificed. Justice Yeldon from Sydney nearby all day. And Tom Hamilton, Sebastian Salon. So, can you remember, you're putting these boxes together, I guess, to make your kind of band.
Yeah.
Right? This way you're going to express it. You're not going to use your own wind, your own breath now. You're going to use these circuits. Can you remember your first composition with those little boxes?
Yes, but I can't remember the name of it anymore. Okay. It had some silly name like, I think it was Boing Zapper Wow Wow.
Do you have a tape of it or record?
Somewhere.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
Somewhere where you won't hear it, okay. You know.
Like the early days of skateboard riding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the horror. Oh, man. We're always learning. Life's a classroom. So, but you never saw, your idea of, like that man that you saw give the lecture, was his synthesizers tied to keyboards?
No, he came from the great electronic music studio, the Columbia Princeton Electronic Music Studio. He was the director of that studio or co-director, and that was all. That was a very complex set of circuits, and all controlled by an early computer. And then there were people in that studio that were just using a lot of tape recorders and a lot of manipulations right on tape, and using the studio itself to produce the sounds, you know, one or several at a time.
Yeah, tape, right? Delia Derbyshire, the lady who created or performed the Doctor Who theme, she said synthesizers was the turnoff for her for electronic music. It should have been all about cutting tape and wrapping it around the door knobs and chair posts.
For me, synthesizers were a fascination.
Okay.
But they don't have
to be tied to a keyboard. They don't have to be a fake organ.
No, they don't have to be tied to a keyboard at all. It was really, I mean, the instruments that I've owned, maybe the last two or three have had keyboards because they're, you know, commercial manufacture. But, I started with synthesizers more by ordering a catalog from Moog Music when they had just started out in the early 60s. And I ordered two catalogs from them, one for me and one to take to the chairman of the music department where I was in college to convince him that the school needed to buy a Moog synthesizer. This was not a successful pitch on my part. Absolutely not. But nevertheless, I just the catalog was descriptive. It came with a little a demo record with it, and there was somebody in Milwaukee where I was growing up who had a little modular Moog synthesizer, and I went over and used it a couple of times, and I learned so much in just a couple of marathon evening sessions, and then things kind of moved along from there. But I love the idea of the voltage controlled synthesizers.
Just like a garden hose, a fire hose, just all twisted up, and you're just trying to wrestle the thing, Yeah, I think I'm thinking of the switched on Bach. You know, here's the new kind of harpsichord. No, maybe not. I want to play this. You have some collaborations you sent me, and I want to play this Schleibersonic Tromosome. Yeah. Ah
Me too. Back where stoods the citadel drear, gardens dark, watered by tears. I cannot go on. Wrong, ich bin der Geist, der stets genannt. Helmet ogles ampules by starlight. We need must flee the fairy wood, jaw set, visor down, pushpins, cork. The French dip. What vistas lie ahead, tra-la, the red sun over my mystery shoulder. I am galloping alongside a French dip. A strange, extraneous sound intrudes. Riches, mayhap, rattling about an old coffee tin. Not bloody likely, snickers the horse. I know you're there, horse, I can hear you. Besides, I can see you under my crotch. The words echo through the dark forest. The wee woodland creatures attend. The gulls. The residents of French Dip, Louisiana, line up mornings face to face, rain or shine, pick up their opposites on odd number days, the line to the west, on even the east. Passerby gulls plodding south, these playthings of the fickle wind, see none of this. 'Tis the delta beyond for which they long, to cushion exhaustion, supine, arms open. Expressions of sympathy. A hasty expression of sympathy to the Dirk decapitating you on its assignment's conclusion is simply wrong-headed. Oh, fortunate who rise up off topsoil and fly, how I envy you. Nobody I know even levitates. We lack a genetic predisposition. But I do have these mental paddles to row with toward conclusion. What is one to make en route of life's little sight gags? Over there, for example, a tableau carved in diseased Dutch elm depicting an Irish wolfhound urinating on Wolf, a personage of Teutonic extraction, in a dogwood's dappled shade. Ugh! I like to imagine the music to these edge-dwelling moments as the shrill of the referee's whistle at a cosmic free-for-all. Thus do phantom palaces surprises make of minds. A surprise well-crafted, fabled Atlantis approximates, by pint per scoop gained, or, as dry measure, the parable of patience thinking about outwitting enormity. Like sutures sealing a mistress's charms, this too leads to productive bemusement. What exactly are we looking for here in the nest? Don't ever call me Pierre. My true name cowers in the dark, slowly going sour, give or take an hour. One, fabled Atlantis sinks. Two, it's gone. Three, get over it. We see these things more clearly in daylight. After the pseudonymous Pierre bloodies the nose of his identical twin, the true blue Pierre, he stomps melons plump with seed, and so from snits flies usefulness. Fuggery thus their overture, who can say what drives one to action? The passers-by gather strange flora and fauna, a curious soup. The knot in the neck. The knot in the neck in daydreams I kiss, in bed, on a chair, toes enclosed, hat under hair, living shellfish to the nines are dressed in homespun rock, toes in sand sunk, topknot, hat. Recant your devotion to my apex-aimed person, and yes, I will whimper just like a human. I arrive, I depart, and why is that, oh? Like your hat, I play a dual role. I cap imagination, restraint, and signal removal to excess, say. Right here off my desk. Damn, damn, damn it, damn. They've gone and filched the surrender leaflets right here off my freaking desk. Had I not already decided against writing about Clausewitz, this wrongdoing might well have filled the bill. Yet I continue to think of Clausewitz when I sit here at my desk, distracted by the memory of my filched surrender leaflets. I conduct the flow of nostalgia with a boxcar axle I found whilst flourishing literal roses under figurative noses. Foolish environmentalist. Gazing upward, a foolish environmentalist asks a big leafy tree, well, what next? Where to now? Come again? A big leafy tree drops a bough on a foolish environmentalist's head. Well, what next? The concussed dunce asks in his big leafy cap. Waste not, want not. Camouflage. Ach, hot damn, veya mir. They are dropping fresh surrender leaflets right here on my treehouse desk. It's all over for me. Struggling with poetry, which, held up to life, is but colored lard on a week-old scone. After the disaster, the surviving passers-by simmer ill-smelling herbs and slimy, crawling things. A curiously fucked-up soup. The candle gutters, dies. Pierre hears someone, something, schlup-schlupping out there in the dark. One eats the fucked-up soup. falls gravely ill, and is rescued from oblivion by a fucked-up soup patrol in FUSR-trained fucked-up soup resuscitation. Returned to hardihood, one wants to know about the then. After all, it is our road. We slink about the countryside, dreaming of the population we'd like to sire with these lovely, olive-complected indigenes. We hug the coast like periwinkles. A five-story H with dish antennae affixed to the verticals serves as our guide. Since 90% of the landscape is stark, it is difficult to ignore the odd, creamy spots. There, in a dogwood's shadow, an unappetizing mound. Faute de mieux, we turn our gaze to dawn dissolving the snowmen. One had thought them sentries posted about the impermanent frost. The chicken I ordered arrives as an egg. Too early again. Like a wheel of fragrant cheese, I order the miles with noticeability. Follow that sunset nose. No, imbecile, that one. The nation's flag flutters from a flagstaff. A clock face on a tower peeps through thick mast foliage. Below, on the lawn, memorial cannonballs stacked like waxed Buddhas. A snake-like train curves distantly and pauses, feeling out the terrain. A steamboat rounds a far-off bend and pauses, taking in the view. Overlooking the lawn with its stacked cannonballs, an equestrian bronze, blue-ribbon stallion, assisting pillar of the community to his manifest destiny, which might do as the heart of a billboard large canvas were it not for the haste these cheek-by-jowl endings require. The mandibles in question. Excellency, the mandibles in question are chewing up hectares of quaint countryside. Projectiles, a whistling fly, crisscrossing the lovely geography. If you are quick, glints you'll detect where they intersect with sunbeams bright, for silver is the shot, vis-a-vis lycanthropy and a victorious army's ostentations. Why are we such a warlike species, I ask myself as I part my balm from its makeshift stopper, a remarkably small pacifist who, like fabled Atlantis, suffers from apocrypha. Poetry inquires into these pearly daylit moments along with shadowy motives, dings, dents, and cracks. But urban sewage grids? Please say no. Alas, yes, urban sewage grids. Ars longa. Excuse me, miss, a wee flake of rogue shit inquires. If I study how to do things right, do you think we might be friends? They fly, my friends, these bits of rogue shit. Who'd have thought it? It may be that you are correct. A lull in the discourse. Both men wait on one foot each. A third party blasts the quaint countryside in which the diminutive bottle stopper and his rather larger friend are standing on one foot each to itsy-bitsy pieces, marking an end to land reform, but always, toujours, another beginning. They are young, itsy-bitsy, and at peace. They are young, etc. They eat off placemats. They take care of their teeth. The sky is blue, and so am I. Spewing coleslaw, bridge work, mayhap the tongue, the face goes slack, eyes dim, teeth yellow, wobble, crumble, the melancholic reads the obits. As he does not fold the journal, from the side opposite, save for fingers, he is invisible. Not transparent, rather concealed. Rocking the dwelling. Is it a lover's pulse rocking the dwelling? Metronome to crumbling walls? Or passerby footsteps, stride, tick, synchronous? A pulse, Sir Isaac, beleaguers the house. The very stains desert the sheets. Talk about La Juif Errant. I used to own a five-story-high cast iron, exclusive of ornamentation, get-well greeting card that made me sick to look at. It also made me sick to see Satan en route from in transition to angel fallen, sockets spewing eyeballs like marbles, ergo all-seeing. He's in the forest now, is Satan, painting birches with little black stripes. A contemplative fellow in the main, he screeches now and again. Jersey? Where? The people under the bed are noisy. It is midnight. I bite off my hat.
We'll be right back.
To Yes, and things like that, but I wasn't connected to that music. Yeah. I was my part of electronic music always was on the experimental side.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I felt that, you know, I had this feeling that what I ought to be doing with it would be to try to put something out there that was new in music, not a recreation of something old.
Yeah.
So it's just the idea of moving ahead and sort of ignoring what seemed to be part of musical history. Even though we're always connected to music history, we can't help that. It's just this idea of moving forward.
Sure, sure. The intent, right? 9/10
of
the law.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me tell the people what we heard. Cafe Criminal from Slybersonic Traumasome. Then Quarantina Part 16, Revelations from Joe Cardamone's Quarantina little opera. But Absent a Spleen, this is Tom Hamilton, Mike Silverton, Al Margolis.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I found that. I love it. But Absent a Spleen, I mean, who did the spiel? Who wrote the spiel?
Mike Silverton wrote it.
Oh, really good.
The text? Fucking good. Mike wrote all that, yeah.
Really good. Plasterman from The Plasterman, I think Ithaca. Dustin Off Dada from Tom Hamilton, Bruce Eisenbile. Tell me about these collabs.
Okay, sure. You find, yeah, it's a wonderful thing in New York, especially as you find all these kindred spirits, and the instrument is part of sort of a manifestation of similar point of view about music, or at least a temporarily similar point. And I started playing, for example, you just mentioned Bruce Eisenbile. He's obviously from that cut. He's a wonderful guitarist, very fast, and just very imaginative timbral palette. And we just started working around 2007, 2008, and we met a lot in my living room, actually, and we just laid down a lot of tracks. We probably laid down about 5 CDs worth of tracks.
Whoa.
And then we had this process of just picking one, let's just put out, an hour or less of music. And so the one you heard is just, it was one of the keeper takes. How's that?
It's hard to create, but having too much and getting a scissor, I think they call that editing, right?
Yeah, right.
Mr. Faulkner hated editors, but then he had the fucking 10,000-word paragraphs.
Well, I don't like to edit in the middle of things.
Okay.
In terms of something that is continuous, I don't make something longer or shorter by adding or subtracting anywhere or making more sections out of it, or these kinds of things. So, I try to preserve the continuity. So my edits are very simple in pieces. Sometimes I edit by throwing away, which is
that's kind of what
for
I was
the best.
Do. That's what I was kind of meaning. And yeah. I gotta tell you too, Light in August, beautiful book by Mr. Faulkner. So nothing against him.
Sure.
Yeah. Cormac McCarthy's the closest guy that's come to writing like that again. We're at the end of the second hour, June 2, 2021 edition. Watt Pedro Show special guest Tom Hamilton. Hold tight for hour three. June 2, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you. psychopathic psychos, business models, running social, welfare for the rich and famous. You are here to serve this moment. Vicious self-perpetuation, cycle of the wheels of motion. Capital, the price of hatred, spin the purchase, sold as potent. Persecute the lowest paid, where their claimants get demoted. Charity, the bandits play with, do they know it's what they voted? Leave the hand that fights the pit. Chance that justify the clothing. Paychecks that are on the strains. We feed the world, it's homeless quotas. The world is yours, don't take it. Make it your thing, so what is it? The blood of pity is this nature. Comes like this, just fucking news. For what night, the world before she's credit for it. Kills it, turn what property. Who stores this world, just gave the world. To watch it burn. The world is yours, don't take it. Make it your thing, so what is it? The blood of pity is this nature. Comes like this, just fucking news. Times my lucky charm. Ireland, island of the nation. Sing rebel songs, way arm in arm. I still with tears are bright and blazing. As though they bore the scars of harm. Deprived of my historic placement. Purpose the state of the earth. Museum to this reparation. We yearn the right to take the wage. Pay ourselves with our labor. To reap the harvest of the slave. Injustice will break an acre. For this world is ours to choose. To do with that we wish to take it. As for what we'll do and who will win and who will lose their place with. The world is yours, so take it. Take it through them, see what it is. The blood of children is the station. Not like this, just fucking news. For what night, the world of all these better first. That's it, the turn of prophecy. Who serves it for this game of war. So watch it burn. The world is yours, so take it. Take it through them, see what it is. The blood of children is the station.
Bible belt in the mouth.
Bach for Pedro show. We start off the third hour. Tom Hamilton, Thomas Buckner with Jump the Circle, Jump the Line. A Pineal Ventana with Calling Zero, Rid Rot. That's cryptic. To Live and Shave in L.A., Bones, Beers, and Muscles. Not so cryptic. Deep in the Woods, 66. Heads featuring Captain Moonlight. So these guys, it's Tommy O'Sullivan out of Dublin, Ireland, with Basket Case. His Man Alone album, but big collabs with his buddies. And I even got to play on one, or spiel. Elliot Sharp after that, A Bible Belt in My Mouth. Incredible guitar man out of New York City. He's got the best initials too, right? E Sharp.
He can right.
Right, yeah, the music way. It's not hashtag, people. Okay, and finally, Tom Hamilton with Jeff Holly, Looking Out the Window. What about these two collabs, Tom?
Well, so the first collab is with Tom Buckner, who was one of the first people I met in music when I moved to New York about 34 years ago. And, you know, we had one or two friends in common, but it was more that I was going to concerts all over town. Anything that was contemporary, experimental, anything, and all different parts of the city. And the person I saw the most at these events was Tom Buckner. And we just got to be friends that way, just through a love of a lot of different music. And we started working together and, did several collaborations. And we also collaborated on a concert series, that went from about 93 to 2007. So it was a series about improvised music. In the summer, we called it Cooler in the Shade, and in the winter, we called it Warmer by the Stove.
Which makes sense for New York City.
yeah. So we did a lot. We had a lot of adventures together. We were both part of composer Robert Ashley's ensemble. And so we did a lot of touring together.
So that's important, right? Taking turns, being man alone and composing or single one-on-one collabs, but then also being part of ensembles.
Yes, yeah. For me, I think the most comfortable ensemble for me is a duo. I learned that about myself a long time ago. That especially if a person, you know, they're singing or they're playing, let's say more of a melody instrument, it takes on a very different role than what I'm doing with the electronics, which is more textural. I try to provide a context for solos more than creating single lines or doing something that is, you know, soloistic in and of itself.
A contrast.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And what about Jeff Holly?
Jeff Holly, I knew first. He was actually in one of my early electronic music classes in St. Louis. He was a student at Washington University, and he we sort of kept up.
Let me ask you, Tom. Washington University had a good music program?
It had a music program.
Because that's the movie they used for fucking Animal House.
Is it?
Well, that frat. It was. Yeah. I think it was filmed in Oregon or something, but that they used that like as the, I don't know, the script anchor or something.
Well, I built an electronic music studio there in 1971, and Jeff was in one of the classes in the 70s, and we just hit it off and stayed in touch over the years. He spent a lot of time in LA in the 80s, and then he eventually moved to Amsterdam. So we see each other in New York once in a while. He has reason to be here, and we just did something together about 6 months before the world stopped. So
well, it was just postponed. It's going to start again. Can I ask you one question about Electronic Cat in SoCal? He's in Tokyo now. Carl Stone, are you familiar?
We know each other a little bit, yeah.
Okay, because he had a huge effect on me. There's a station where you are, WBAI. They got a sister station,
right.
KPFK. And he used to have a show named after Imaginary Landscape. Who's that composer? It was Cage, Mr. Cage's composition. And he introduced me to so much, Deutsche Grammophon, Hat Hood, all that. Really, it made you think about what is music?
Like, well, that's the idea. That's the idea is... what else could be music? That's where I come from, is like, making something that has that possibility of now adding to our notion of what music is.
That's great, man. I want to play this a tune from you. We're out of collab land, people, so sorry, but we're going to finish up strong with Tom's solo things. And London Fix.
Okay. Thank you.
friend Rick. He's going to play sax in this song.
This song is called Grimly Forming, and it's originally done by the Great Society.
Rain, I saw one.
Watch for PBO Show Last Music for this edition. Tom Hamilton with London Fix. It means the price of gold is set, people. No druggers. Stair Kids after that from the No Wave days in New York City, late 70s. Grimley Foreman, something live. Tuning was just a concept. Yeah, electric guitars, bass guitar. Tom Hamilton, finally, with Papaya. Papaya, I love this tune. So, I noticed you didn't give me a lot of contemporary, you know, like, because you say the world stopped. The world did stop for you music-wise. You don't use the internet to trade files?
No, you're saying I didn't give you a lot of recent stuff.
That's what I meant. Like, yeah, 2021 stuff.
Yeah, I just, you know, I thought about that, I realized that after I already had made my excerpts. And I think, you know, some of these things, you know, I wanted to play out again. They're part of my background.
No, I'm glad you brought them, really.
But, you know, in this last year, I've done probably 4 Bandcamp albums, some collaborative and some solo. I've done some scores for dance videos. And I've done, had a chance to do a lot of stuff that's really, you know, at this point, drawing board stuff, right? Not ready to commit to yet.
Petri dish.
Yeah, yeah.
So Tom,
you know, I keep working on stuff, and I guess I should have been more complete.
No. I'm glad you brought what you did. I was just curious what you were doing in the meantime. Is there a place where listeners can find on the internet the like you said, 4 Bandcamp albums? Is there a Tom Hamilton website?
Well, in two ways. One is, Lovely Music has a website for me that you can get just by going to lovely.com/Hamilton, and that'll take you to the main page for that. Right. And then the other thing is on Bandcamp,
yeah,
a person, if they search on TomHamilton1.bandcamp.com, you know, that's me.
Yeah. No.
And my stuff is, if you just searched on Tom Hamilton Composer, you know, or Tom Hamilton Electronics.
But if you go to Tom Hamilton Bass Player, you're getting Aerosmith.
Yeah, you're in a different territory altogether.
There's a hockey player named Mike Watt. I know what you're going through, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's like, oh, it happens. There's only so many letters.
I get that one a lot, yeah.
So many letters in the alphabet, right? Look, so great. You know, since we didn't get the more recent stuff, will you come on the show again and we'll play nothing but new stuff?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I'd be thrilled.
Okay. Yeah, because it's a big honor to have you aboard. And please keep on keeping on for the sake of all of us. Your inspiration, Tom Hamilton. True.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. People, it's been June 2, 2021 Dish Wap Pivo Show. Oh, and thank you again, Al Morgales, for making the connect. Keep your powder dry.